It's The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. Now this week, we've been talking about play and looking at how we can continue to play into our adulthood, something researchers say is great for relieving stress and coping with tension. Some adults get paid to wear matching uniforms and tight pants, hit a ball as far as they possibly can, and run around in a field of dirt and grass. You know what we're talking about.
I'm talking baseball.
Baseball.
While the athletes are literally playing, watching Major League Baseball doesn't always feel so playful. And that might be why the MLB has struggled to attract younger fans since the mid-20th century. According to Gallup polling, baseball went from America's favorite sport to watch in 1960 to a third favorite in 2017, well below football and basketball, and leaving some to wonder if America's pastime is past its time. So, figuring out how to attract new fans to the game could have a lot to do with putting the play back into it.
On three, everyone in the stadium is going to say play ball. One, two, three.
The Savannah Bananas are an unconventional baseball team that have amassed 3 million followers on TikTok, more than any Major League Baseball team. This wildly popular minor league baseball franchise has sold out every home game at their historic Grayson Stadium in Savannah, Georgia, since its founding in 2016. Fans come from miles away to watch the Bananas collegiate team in the summer and the pro Bananas throughout the rest of the year. These pros have become famous for their high-energy, quick-paced, and quirky game of banana ball.
This is not baseball. This is not your granddad's pastime. This is the time for all 4,000 people here tonight to get up on your feet and give me your voices. Because this is the greatest show in sports. This is banana ball.
And as you just heard, it's not just a game, it's a show where fans, players, and coaches alike dance, sing, and play. A number of sports reporters have compared the team's fun-filled approach to the trailblazing style of the Harlem Globetrotters. Savannah Banana games include choreographed dances during the game, iconic walk-ups, players in kilts, and sometimes even a pitcher on stilts. And of course, lots of banana costumes. And before the first pitch is thrown, there's a Lion King-themed tribute to a different banana baby each game.
Keep them going, fans, because it is now time to meet tonight's banana baby.
Here with me now is Jesse Cole, owner of the Savannah Bananas. And fun fact, he owns 7 yellow tuxedos and wears one to every game. Jesse, welcome to The Takeaway.
I'm so excited to be with you.
And Maceo Harrison is the first base dance coach and choreographer for the Savannah Bananas. Maceo, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here.
Maceo, can I start with you? Because there was all kinds of debate about this. Are you the first base dance coach or the dancing first base coach?
Well, it's either or. It's however you play, whatever you're comfortable with. I always say first base dancing coach, but dancing first base coach is fine as well.
I love that. It's just, I was saying to my director, I was like, so is the skill that he's teaching first basing or is the skill that he's teaching dancing?
It's dancing and entertainment and goofiness, but whatever rolls off the tongue the easiest for people, I just let it happen.
Now, Jesse, can you tell us, and I think we're starting to get a sense of it, but tell us, what makes the Savannah Bananas different?
Well, it's very simple. We've had a singular mission since we started, and it's to make baseball fun. And so, yes, when you come to a Bananas game, you will have a dancing first base coach. You will have, you know, the Banana Nanas senior citizen dance team. You'll have a full pep band, a banana baby. You'll have dancing umpires and players in stilts. It's all to make the baseball fun and make, you know, people have fun at the ballpark, and that's what we're all about.
So wait a minute, was baseball not already fun?
You know, as a guy who played baseball my whole life, I absolutely loved playing the game and I was into it as much as anyone. And then as I started to watch, when my career ended, watching the game and seeing that games were getting over 3 hours and they were slower and attendance was declining, started to realize that the game, you know, to many is long, slow and boring. And we tried to be the opposite of that.
So what is banana ball, Jesse?
It's the world's fastest and most entertaining game of baseball. So yes, we invented a new game with a two-hour time limit where batters can steal first. Batters can't step out of the batter's box. There's no bunting. And even if fans catch a foul ball, it's an out. It's crazy.
I love the idea that fans catching it also constitutes an out. It gets everybody, you know, with some stake in this game. You spoke a little bit here about the inspiration to make these kinds of changes, you know, going from being a player to being an observer and suddenly having a different experience of the game. But what are the other core inspirations for you, Jesse?
Well, 7 years ago, my wife and I came to Savannah to launch a brand new team. And, you know, we only sold two tickets in our first few months. And, you know, by January of 2016, we overdrafted our account. We were completely out of money and we had nothing left. We were sleeping on an airbed. And we knew we just had to do something that could get a bigger group of people excited to come see us play. And, you know, I read every book on Walt Disney and P.T. Barnum and, you know, started looking at the people that have brought so much fun to the masses. And we said, we're not in the baseball business. We're in the entertainment business. And we just started asking every question, what can we do that's fans first? And what can we do to entertain always? And we've been fortunate now. Every game sold out and the wait list is over 75,000 for tickets. Just blows my mind from where we started.
You know, it's funny as you are saying that, you know, this is part of our ongoing segments around the issue of play. And Jesse, I guess I'm wondering when you are, you know, in that moment that is, you know, sleeping on the air mattress, right? You know, I've come to these kind of like what feel like end of the road moments in and it can be hard to feel playful, right? Especially if your spouse is there, if your family is there. How do you maintain a sense of experimentation and play when you're facing like, okay, we got to pay some bills here?
We had no other options. You know, I wish I'd go back and say, you know, it was this clear thing that we did, but we just got up every day, showed up, and we believed in something. And when you truly believe in something and you believe in, you know, every game, our players deliver roses to little girls in the middle of the game. Every game, Maceo not only does dancing and people go crazy, but he gets in the crowd. He interacts with thousands of fans in the middle of the game. And I knew that if we could do that, we'd break down the barriers. And so it's hope, it's optimism, but it's just showing up. And I realized that my wife and I, that if we could just get people to show up that first game and see it, we'd be okay. And luckily they came and, you know, the rest is history.
Now, Maceo, talk to me a little bit about baseball. Baseball wasn't one of the sports that you did. Were you purposely like staying off the diamond, or was it just that it didn't seem like it was really for you?
At first, I was purposely staying off because I didn't understand really the game fully. I understood like some of the basics, but I wasn't fully aware of like certain things like what makes a walk or what gets them to actually walk to the first base. I found out that they can decide if they want to throw to you or not. I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's cool. But the longer I've been on Savannah Bananas, the longer and more I've learned with the team. I like to talk. I like to talk to the team and get on that personal level. And I like to learn from their experiences and also learn the game. And they've been teaching me certain things. And I'm like, oh, okay, okay. But I still cannot get the baseball talk. Like when they say, I'm base and all that, I'm like, what is that? That's I'm like, what is this?
It's true. Baseball does have its whole own vocabulary and sort of like tone and speed and all of that. But it sounds like baseball has opened up to you, that it feels more like something relevant and fun for you.
Yes, it has became more natural because it puts me outside my element. Like I did not know the sport at all. But with me being a part of it and actually like learning the game, I'm like, oh, okay. I start noticing things. Same with the players. When they're brought to do the players dance, they are outside their element, but they start to learn fully of how to move and how to count and how to listen to the music. So I think with those two colliding, it makes a wonderful show.
So give me a story of teaching baseball players choreography. What has that been like?
It's been a wild ride. Like I've seen with my background in dancing already, I've taught a lot. I teach kids from ages 4 and I teach all the way to adults. So I've seen a lot. Like I've seen a lot of people that have rhythm. I've seen a lot of people that just did not have rhythm. And that's okay. That's cool. I got to the point of where when I got old enough and I found out my rhythm of teaching and everything like that, I was like, just go out there and have fun. That's the main energy. And some of them, they don't have rhythm. They just don't have it. And that's totally fine. That's totally cool. That's just like me stepping up to home plate, trying to hit a ball, and I just won't hit anything. I could probably run them and steal them, but I just wouldn't be able to hit. And that's totally fine. But as long as I'm enjoying the game and playing the game, that's all that matters. And you're entertaining the crowd. So we have our times where I have to dim stuff like way down, but I dim it down to where it entertains the crowd, but also it's not too easy for them to where they feel like they're doing baby steps. You know, I like to challenge them each and every time. So it's always fun to see that.
Jesse, in Banana Land, you were just saying that this was a fans first, right? This is where fans come first. Tell me what that means in a practical way.
Of course. Well, it's the name of our company. Our company's name is Fans First Entertainment. We changed it. It used to have a terrible name, like Team Cole and Associates. It sounded like a law firm or accounting office. Like, didn't even make any sense. So we changed it into what our mission is: fans first, entertain always. So what does that look like? We look at every friction point in a ballpark experience, a baseball experience, and try to eliminate it. So for instance, when you come here to Banana Land in Savannah, there's no ticket fees. There's no convenient fees, which are the most inconvenient fees in the world. There's no parking fees. And you have one ticket. And it includes all your burgers, hot dogs, chicken sandwiches, soda, water, popcorn, dessert, everything all night long for $20 total. So that's a start.
Had you heard about the two-tier pricing? Like, the way that people make money is by selling those 50-cent sodas for $5, man.
Yeah, a lot of people in the industry think we're absolutely crazy. And we literally sell zero advertising at our ballpark. So we took down all the ads from the outfield wall, and we actually put up a fan wall. So instead of billboards, our fans get to sign the wall. And so we threw away hundreds of thousands of dollars right before the pandemic in 2020, one of the worst business decisions you could ever make. But it's all part of Fans First. And practically now, looking forward 2-3 years later, our merchandise does about 10 to 12 times what we did in total sponsorship. So I believe fans are starting to support us, which, again, you do what you believe in. And we want to create the most fans first experience on earth. And that's what Maceo and our players try to deliver every night.
But, you know, this is work, right? So I want to come to both of you all on this, because, again, this is our play conversation. But, Jesse, these games are coordinated. There's tons of planning. You've got dress rehearsals. Is it still fun? Is it still a baseball game with all this work?
It's funny. The work, I understand the concept of hard work. And I think anybody that looks at, you know, Maceo and our team and myself and my wife and everyone, you would say we work hard. I will say this unequivocally, that every single day I get to dance with the fans, sing with the fans. I mean, we have 4,000 people doing the Hey Baby dance every night. We put our arms around each other at the end of the night. It sounds kumbaya, but our band plays Stand By Me, and all the fans, the players, everyone, we're singing Stand By Me. It's crazy. You can't look around and say, wow, we're a part of something pretty special. And for me, when I look up every day, no matter getting home at 1 a.m, I have 3 kids under 3 years old, still I get inspired and excited to come to the ballpark, because you get to see you're doing something special and unique. And for me, I was a baseball player, but now I get to dance, sing. Maceo knows I can't dance that well, but I try my best. But I dance, I sing, I get to entertain every day. And it is 100% play. And I think that's what makes Banana Land special.
I want to dig in on that for just a minute, Jesse, because part of play is that you're supposed to just have a good time playing, whether or not the playful aspects, you know, have an end. But I'm wondering if the playful aspects actually also make the players, you know, better baseball players. Are there either skills or maybe just a certain kind of confidence or energy that might, in fact, make y'all more competitive?
1,000%. I remember I was giving a talk to a local college 3 or 4 years ago, and I said, you know, we just have more fun. That's why we win more than anyone else. And I didn't realize, but the professor heard that. And 3 months later, he said, I remember when you said that, you know, they play better because they're having fun. Well, I've been studying this for your team and the league over the last 3 months and looking at every stat. And you know what? We have the data that actually backs this up. You guys have better on base percentage, better strikeout to walk ratio, better this, better that, versus even when you played in your college teams versus where you play now. And he goes, it actually proves that when you have fun, you perform better. And I said it kind of, you know, tongue in cheek, just off the cuff, just, you know, here it is. But it's true. When you think about it, when you do things that give you energy, when you do things that are fun, you will perform better, whether you're in baseball or anything else. And I think that's a level of play, you know, doing things that give you energy and doing things that are fun is play. And you know, we play every single day here at the ballpark. And now, you know, we're in the championship again, you know, hopefully win three of the six championships in the 6 years we've been in the league and won more games than any other team and had more players drafted. And we don't even talk about the baseball. We talk about the fun in the show, but the baseball then takes care of itself.
Maceo, do you have a favorite song this summer to dance to?
Well, I know Jesse's favorite song. Jesse's favorite song and dance totally is Footloose. And that was my favorite for the longest. But I feel like it has been one that has topped it this year. And it went mainly viral all over TikTok and server. It was Whitney Houston's I Wanna Dance With Somebody When We're in the Kilts. I think that was my all-time favorite. But of course, if we're talking rationally, like just, you know, throwing some out there, it's always Michael Jackson. Always Michael Jackson hits are my favorite. Like, you know, you just can't get no better showman than, you know, Michael Jackson, James Brown, Prince, you know, people like that, because you can feel it through their voice, like their energy. Definitely when you watch them on videos and live performances and shows, you're like, oh my God, I want to be just like that. I want to present that type of energy to everyone. So that's all I think about when I'm dancing. When I'm on that field, I'm like, oh, this is it right here. I'm just going to hit. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's coming. Most of the time they do. Like when they hear the wrecking ball, when they hear Wrecking Ball, they go wild. And then definitely for Michael Jackson, when they hear Michael Jackson and when they see I'm about to hit the moonwalk on grass, they're like, oh my God. So I live for those reactions. And if I get those reactions out of people, even the kids, it's a whirlwind right there. It puts me on the top of the mountain.
Jesse Cole is the owner of the Savannah Bananas. Jesse, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Maceo Harrison is the dancing first base coach, or the first base dance coach. He's also the choreographer for the Savannah Bananas. Maceo, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. This was a blast, and I love talking to you guys.
We've been talking about baseball, and it's a good moment to remember someone who brought the joy of play to fans of the game.
If one picture is worth a thousand words, you have seen about a million words.
On Tuesday, the baseball world lost the great Vin Scully, Hall of Fame broadcaster for the Dodgers. Just listen to his enthusiasm while calling Hank Aaron's record-breaking 715th home run in 1974.
What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world.
Scully called more than 9,000 games over 67 years in Los Angeles and in Brooklyn in the 1950s. He called his first World Series at age 25. And he went on to be the longest tenured broadcaster for one team in the history of pro sports. He will be missed and dearly remembered.
I have said enough for a lifetime, and for the last time, I wish you all a very pleasant good afternoon.
Thanks so much for being with us. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and this is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.